and welcome to Scran, the podcast passionate about the Scottish food and drink scene. I'm your host, Rosalind Erskine, and in this special episode, we talk to Scotland's national chef, Gary McLean, who I think we can now call a Scran regular, and Teddy Lee of Mackie and Ramen about the upcoming seafood festival that takes place at the St James Quarter and will celebrate sustainable Scottish seafood. We discuss the importance of sharing knowledge around Scottish seafood and encouraging everybody to explore the amazing array of produce we have available to us. Gary tells me about why this is important and gives me some advice around how not to go about smoking fish at home.
I remember going round the supermarket in Alaska to pick up all my ingredients, and they had two aisles of smoking chips and smokers in Alaska. So basically I was trying to teach people who smoke every single day how to smoke. So I had to sort of think on my feet and how am I going to make this different?
Teddy tells us about how the scene for Japanese food has exploded in recent years, compared to 15 years ago when he first came to Edinburgh, when there was only one restaurant with Japanese dishes on the menu.
Yeah. I just don't like to cook at home. First of all, my wife will not let me because I make a lot of mess. I like to make things from scratch when, you know, cutting raw food in her kitchen is like a no-no.
I also chat to Jennifer Lassine, Hospitality Food and Beverage Director at St James Quarter, who gives me an update on how the business is expanding and going from strength to strength. We also learn more about what you can expect from this year's Seafood Festival.
So if you haven't tried an oyster, been a bit too scared to, then you'll have that opportunity to come and do that there.
I'm joined by Chef Gary McLean and Chef Teddy Lee, who both have restaurants at the St James Quarter. So hi guys, how are you?
Hi, good.
Hi, good to see you.
Nice to see you. Yep. So for regular listeners to Scran, they'll have heard from Gary before. So I'm going to start with Teddy. You're a first time guest. So could you just tell us a little bit about your business, how it came to be and the sort of idea behind it?
Hi everyone. So my name is Teddy Lee. I'm the founder and head chef of Mackie and Ramen. Mackie Ramen is Japanese restaurant who specialize in sushi and ramen.
And how long have you had restaurants in Scotland for?
So we started in 2015, back and forward 8 years from now. We had about six restaurants in Edinburgh, two in Glasgow, and now there's upcoming in Manchester as well.
So the idea behind it, is it to bring kind of an authentic taste of Japan to Scotland, is that right?
Yes, correct. The aim is to have extra element for Scotland, for Scottish people to have. So I know beforehand when I came in, it was only Indian curry and Chinese takeaway. So I want to give like the extra element, which is the Japanese restaurant.
So obviously you both work with Scottish seafood. Gary, just over to you. For anyone that doesn't know, could you tell us a bit about your restaurant and sort of how important it is for you to work with Scottish seafood?
Yeah. I have a restaurant called Creole Cot that's in the Bonnywell Marketplace up on the fourth floor at the St James Quarter. And again, been there since we opened. And the whole concept is based on Scottish seafood. I came up with the idea at the same time as we were watching the truckloads of amazing Scottish fish and shellfish getting stuck at the borders in Dover. And that was the sort of inspiration behind it. So it was to kind of showcase that. You know, there's 9 things on the menu. All of it is fish, every single bit of it. But it's a great kind of concept to market. And obviously the St James Quarter itself has been an amazing success. So it's been a fantastic experience, and we're almost both hitting our second anniversaries there.
And Teddy, you work with Scottish seafood as well?
Yes, we source a lot of local seafood as well for our sushi.
So basically, we're here today to obviously talk about your guys' work, but there is a seafood festival coming up at the St James Quarter. So Gary, do you want to sort of tell us your involvement in it?
Yeah, again, really happy to be involved. This is our second seafood festival. We'd won last year as well, to great success. Yeah, and I think the idea is just to really showcase how accessible and how healthy and how easy it is to cook with Scottish seafood. And it's, you know, my kind of idea is to tell the story. You know, I'm lucky enough I can get out and about and I get to meet the fisher folk that catch it. And I've seen where, you know, the whole supply chain, and part of my other kind of remit is to help promote Scottish produce, food and drink abroad as well. So it's great to be doing it on our doorstep in Edinburgh. And I remember last year the crowds we got were immense, you know, and it was a real mix. You know, we had passers-by that we were kind of dragging in, but we also had a lot of visitors to the city that came in and were experiencing Scottish seafood probably for the first time. But again, I think it's a great opportunity to tell the story of the people. You know, we're buying our fish locally. We buy our lobsters from Kate Lobster Co., who catches them pretty much, you know, hundreds of yards away, and then bringing them in every morning and things like that. So we've got a lot to be proud of when it comes to fish and shellfish in Scotland.
And Teddy, what is your involvement in the festival?
So I'm in the seafood festival. I do sushi classes. The aim is to use Scottish fish and to make sushi. So teach them how to make sushi. I hope one day you will have, you know, when you have mom and a daughter making cupcake day, so there will be a sushi day. So then they know how to make sushi, they make the sushi at home.
Yeah, because it seems like it would be quite complicated, but is it quite easy to do?
Yes, it is a lot of preparation, but it's like 80% preparation, and then the 20% is only rolling the sushi. So it's more like the preparation will be more important. It's not that difficult, but every time when you make, you cannot just make one roll. You will need to make it like a bunch of sushi. So you make sure that your family they come by.
Yeah.
To eat.
Yeah, and I suppose some people might be slightly daunted by the raw fish, but that will be what they learn from you on the day, that it's nothing to be scared of.
Yes. So there's a misconception of like Japanese sushi. Everyone just thinking about, oh, that's raw fish, and then that's it. But there is actually a lot of not raw, or either it's been grilled or either been tempura. So it is not only raw fish is about. So I would recommend to start with something that is cooked, but sushi. And then later on, we can move on to like a bit more advanced, basically, for the sashimi part.
Yep. And Gary, what is it that you're going to be doing during the festival?
I think for me, the main thing is to get across as many species as possible. I've recently been working with things like scatewing, which is fantastic. It's something I haven't used for ages. Getting back to our basics, things like heron and our hand-dive scallops and things like that are, you know, and it's the ultimate fast food. I also want to kind of do some stuff with our preserved fish. One of my favourite things is probably one of the cheapest things you can buy, smoked mackerel. Absolutely jam-packed with flavour and healthy. And obviously Scotland is really famous for its hot and cold smoked salmon. So getting that in somewhere as well. And again, perfect for sushi.
Yes. You mentioned about mackerel. That's something that I really, really want to release that. But it's coming on the spring, isn't it? So
yeah.
So once it's there, it's there. And it's very, very good for sushi, definitely.
And quite cheap as well. So that's quite good for people.
It's when you can get it. It's when there's none about at the moment. But as soon as it comes in, it's something I like to use a lot.
Thanks. And one of the key messages as well during the festival will be like sustainability and seafood. And that's something that you're quite passionate about as well, Gary, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. And again, the whole sustainability thing for a restaurateur is about that communication. It's about making sure that you speak to your suppliers and totally understand the food chain. You know, and getting out and seeing the food chain. But there's loads of different websites as well that you can follow just to make sure that you're being as sustainable as possible. Just by its very nature and the way that we fish in Scotland, you know, if you're buying Scottish, you're pretty sure to be buying something that is sustainable and on the list of food that we should and could be using.
You said you're wanting to highlight different species. Does that mean you're doing like a cookery masterclass, or is it just on the menu?
Yeah, I'll be doing culinary demonstrations and then offering tastings at the end.
Nice.
And I think the whole thing when I do a demonstration, it's interactive, because obviously my day job is education. So I like to get across some relevant information. And I just want people to sort of pick up hints and tips that they are comfortable enough they can take away. You know, and I think there's a lot of the sort of barriers when people are looking to buy fish. The general public are buying fish. They just don't know how to cook it. You know, so I'll be doing, you know, much as I'm going to be doing kind of restaurant style food, I'm going to be doing techniques that can be taken home. So things, simple things like pan frying fish, what happens to fish when you put it against heat and things like that. Maybe even look at the whole smoking process, which is fun. A lot of people are getting into that at home. So, but I think the main thing is for me, it's all about that interaction with the public and making sure that the whole demonstration is open and that people can ask questions and get involved. And that's the key for me, getting that audience involved is the mission.
And Ted, is it the same for you? Are you looking for a lot of audience involvement and questions and all the rest of it?
Yeah, so well, mainly making sushi, but also knowing about where the fish come from, which part of the fish we should you be using. There is part like the bone side, and what do we do? You can do it like a fish oil, for example, or like a fish broth. For the tail side, which is more like the more rough side, so you can use roll, and then I'm going to teach them the belly side will be like more like for grill, and then sashimi side will be on the fillet, so they will know how to use the entire fish rather than like just one part, which is also well known as fillet.
And so you said when you first opened your restaurants, there was like, you know, Indian Chinese takeaway, and there wasn't, you know, the sort of understanding of sushi. Have you found that people are a lot more kind of open to trying it and are very interested, more so now than they were maybe a few years ago?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like 15 years ago when I came, there was only one sushi restaurant, and it's actually half because it's combined with Chinese food as well. But then now 15 years back and forward, we're looking at about 25, 30 the Japanese restaurant. So the fact number of the number of restaurants we have is showing that actually people are now more recognizable as a Japanese restaurant.
Well, certainly one of my favorites anyway. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your sort of background and training?
I started my business and knowing a little bit of sushi up until I saw a Netflix documentary video about, it's called Jiro, The Dream of Sushi. So it's like, basically, then I understand that in Japan, there is they're doing sushi slightly different than here. So I took a flight back to going to Japan, and I went to, it's called Sushi Academy. So it's like the whole building is just teaching you a different level of sushi. I took an intensive course there for 2 months, and then I come back for like a better sushi understanding of sushi, how to make sushi from scratch, when is the harvest of the rice will be better, what sort of vinegar we're looking at, and the ratio between the sugar and salt, and all this kind of like the more like the science the part of it behind the sushi. And then I started to make sushi then. And then I feel like now I'm training sushi. So I have, because we're opening franchise Z. So I had to train sushi within 14 days for taking someone who doesn't know any sushi at all to train them up to standard in 14 days. So by that time, I don't want to train them how to make the sushi. I do want to train them to become a sushi chef as well. So it's not like just I know how to make sushi at home, but it's more like I'm a professional sushi chef that I know where the fish come from and when to source them, and then all the rice and all the science behind as well.
And has your background always been in hospitality? Like, has it always been something that you wanted to do when you were younger?
Yes, since basically a generation, so my dad, my mom in a restaurant, and I am, well, basically the second generation of the restaurant type. I've been chef cooking in many different cuisines as well, French, Italian, some tapas as well, some pub food, coffee shop sandwiches, and then Chinese, Malaysian, and then Japanese.
Wow, you must have great dinner parties.
I don't actually cook at home or anything like that. So it's like in Christmas time or any party, I don't cook. I just order from delivery or something.
Just relax.
Yeah. I just don't like to cook at home. First of all, my wife will not let me because I make a lot of mess. I like to make things from scratch when, you know, cutting raw food in her kitchen is like a no-no. So she will stop me doing this anyway. So yeah, I'll let her do her job.
Yep. Whereas Gary, you sound like you cook quite at home quite a bit.
I do all the cooking at home, but I do agree with Teddy. When we have friends over, and I get food in.
Yeah.
I've sometimes, depending on how many people's coming, I sometimes get a chef to come in.
Wow.
Oh, but yeah.
Because, you know, I've done it, and Teddy, you would have been the same. When you're a young chef and you start learning skills, you do start trying to show off in front of friends and family, and you'd invite people over and you'd spend days in the kitchen and you make all this amazing food. And by the time you stop and you've fed everyone, they've all gone and you're left with this big party that you've put so much effort into, and you don't actually experience the party. So I think it's vital that if you're having friends over or family over, that you're there as part of that experience. So listen, just order it in. You know,
yeah, I agree.
Get it ordered in. It's all about the people, I think. It's 100% about the people. So make sure you're with them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Although, to be fair, if I was going down to a chef's house for dinner, I'd probably be a bit like, how come you're not cooking?
I sometimes do things like cook your own. So I do. So if I've got friends around, I'll do like a cook your own pizza night.
All right.
So I'll make all the doughs and I'll line up all the ingredients and I'll stick on the ovens, and I'll let people build their own pizza, and then I'll cook their pizza for them, because there's a wee bit, that's the skillful bit, is getting the dough right and stuff.
Yeah.
So they get to build their own pizza, which is, it's a wee bit of fun. It's a kind of halfway house that means I don't do everything.
That's good.
So they get to build, and it's quite a nice thing to do if people have choice when they come to your house. You know, rather than having a big plate of food, a mound of food in front of them, I always make sure there's food that people can help themselves to. It's just such a nicer experience. And it means they only lift the food that they'll actually eat, which is also good. Saves on food waste and things like that.
So, Gary, you mentioned that people are kind of getting into smoking. So could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, what's happening is we've got things like Netflix and Amazon and stuff like that, Amazon TV, and we've got all these amazing kind of American shows on food, and the Americans are experts at smoking and slow cooking and things like that. So there's a consumer demand where people are going, right, how do we do it? How do we get there? I did a demonstration in Alaska last year at Highland Games in Alaska, and I demonstrated Brandon Rost, you know, smoked salmon, hot smoked salmon, which Scotland is famous for. But I do it very, very simply. I do it on a tray with some whiskey barrel chips. I smoke them, I cover it, and I let the heat from the fire and the smoke cook and flavour the fish, which works perfect. And I remember going around the supermarket in Alaska to pick up all my ingredients, and they had two aisles of smoking chips and smokers in Alaska. So basically I was trying to teach people who smoke every single day how to smoke. So I had to sort of think on my feet, and how am I going to make this different? So they love all things whiskey. So I smoked it with some whiskey in the chips. So you have to soak the chips normally in water before you smoke. And I soaked them in whiskey just to add that point of difference. And they absolutely loved it, because it never crossed their mind to be adding, you know, a bit of alcohol to the chip, which was good. But again, I think it's shown people how easy it can be just with what you've got lying around the house. All you need is some wood chips, and you can buy them online for a couple of pounds. And you need a tray and a little rack, you know, something, the little rack out your oven would work. And, you know, you've got the most perfect smoked fish. So you cure it. So you do a kind of 50% sugar and salt dry mixture, and you cure the salmon. I normally do it for about 24 hours. And what that does is it kind of draws out the moisture of the fish and also makes it firmer. And adds a little bit of flavour as well. I quite like that little bit of sweet and saltiness that you get from the fish. And then you wash it off, pat it dry, and then you kind of slow smoke it. And it's amazing the flavour that you get from it. But again, the important thing is smoking about half your chips and then mix them with the dry. But it is something that's really easy, and more restaurants are doing it as well. You know, they're buying these American smokers and slow cooking all sorts of stuff, brisket and beef and pork shoulders and obviously fish. It's a great thing to get into. I'm a bit of a hacker at it. It's a hobby for me. I do it occasionally in the restaurant, but after seeing the Alaskans doing it, I'm definitely an amateur compared to them.
And it's probably a daft question, but you need to do this outside, right? You're going to need to have a garden.
I do mine in the driveway.
You
can do it at home. I mean, to be honest, you probably need to do it at home because you need a little flame. So you need a little heat underneath. I've got one of those little portable, you know, the portable gas stoves, the little camp ones that you get for a tenner at Argos. I've got one of them and I set it up in the driveway. Yes. With my tray, and it means a house doesn't stink. That's the key. But some people like it. My wife doesn't, so I'm in the driveway.
Yeah, I could just see me attempting this in my flat and all the smoke alarms going off. So
well, this is the other problem. Yeah. So you can borrow my driveway if you ever want to try it.
Thanks very much. I could go up on the roof, but I'm sure I would start. People's washing might get in the way, so yeah, I might need to come round to yours.
Yeah. Probably have the fire brigade coming to speech. There's actually not a lot of smoke, if truth be told, because you're trying to contain the smoke, but there is a lot of smell. And I like the smell, but it does get into everything. Mm. But if you can get a little burner, or even if you've got a blowtorch, what you can do is you can do the smoking, you can get the smoke going with the blowtorch, get the flavour in there, and then once it's sort of calmed down, you can take your tray and pop it in the oven for 15 minutes, and it just ensures that you're getting that fish to the right degree.
Nice. Well, we need to try it.
But it's fun. Get online, order some chips, and you know, give it a go. You can even buy a smoker. You can buy there's a thing called a Cameron smoker, and again, it's a domestic smoker, and it's a tray with a rack inside, and then it's got a tight fitting sliding lid. Mm-hmm. And you'll see them on MasterChef and Great British Menu and stuff like that. But again, getting one of them, and it's probably about £30 or £40, but I would give it a go in a little tray, and then if you like it, you can upgrade your little tray to a purpose-built smoker. And again, it will help contain some of the smells and some of the smoke, I would think.
Yeah. Nice, I need to try that. So Teddy, for anyone wanting to get involved with your sushi making masterclass, what are the details?
So I'm teaching sushi on the 1st of April. That will be on Saturday.
And then Gary, can you just sort of let us know, do you have any plans for the rest of the year? This is obviously a big event, but what else have you got lined up?
Next week I'm off to India. I'm away to Delhi to do some teaching. I work with a culinary school. We have a kind of partnership with a culinary school out there, so I'm doing some teaching and a couple of dinners. I've also got a couple of books out this year, so I've got a book out in the US in June, which I'm looking forward to, and then I've got a new follow-up to my last book, Scottish Kitchens. I've got a new book coming out in October called Scottish Kitchen Celebrations. And you've heard it here first. No one's ever been told. So there's a lot on that front. So I've just finished the first week of photography this week with the amazing Susie Lowe. So we're about halfway through the photography. And the book is looking fantastic. So we're looking to do, we're looking to showcase food through our traditional celebrations in Scotland. So it's starting on New Year's Day when you need your kind of survival food in the morning, right through to Hogmanay, including things like Scottish weddings and festivals and, you know, things like the seafood festival and things like that. That is all encompassed in that. And the usual stuff like Burns and St Andrews and things. So really looking forward to getting that one over the line.
That sounds great. And Teddy, what about you? What are your plans for the rest of the year?
So for Maki Ramen, there are quite a lot of things going on. Next month will be another very big restaurant in Glasgow, about 100 cover. And then the franchisee, that's my kind of like the new chapter or the new challenge. How do I write the entire training manual to be more consistent for all the Maki Ramen? So let's say like a slice of a fish need to be 16 grams, slice of a sashimi need to be 20 grams. Also teaching them how to, from scratch, from someone who never worked in a restaurant before or even in the kitchen, how to teach them to become a sushi chef. So that's my new challenge, a new chapter. This makes me very excited. In terms of restaurant as well, we're going to open one in Manchester, I think back June, hopefully July, June, something like that. And then hopefully the one in Leeds as well in September. So there are quite a lot of things for us to do. Yeah.
Nice. And whereabouts is your one in Glasgow?
The one in Glasgow is in Renfield, Renfield Street. So it's next to the shopping mall, next to the city centre.
Is that the new one or is that one that's already there?
This one is, so we have one in Bath Street, which is a really, really busy site. And then we decide to open another one just right in front of it. So it's like 1 minute walk from there, but that will be a lot much more cover, and there will be like a decorated, like in a St. James Quarter. The decoration with the sakura, with the projector, the sushi bar right in the middle. So once you enter, you will see the sushi chef already. So that's the superstar of the restaurant, yes.
Nice. Thank you very much, guys. It sounds like it's going to be a great event and lots to look forward to for people. So thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm now joined by Jenny Lacine, who is the Hospitality, Food and Beverage Director at the St James Quarter. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. We're here to talk about the upcoming Seafood Festival. But before we start, could you just sort of tell us a little bit about the St James Quarter, how it's going? I know it's been a great addition to Edinburgh's shopping and food and drink scene. So just for anyone who unlikely hasn't visited, just sort of, can you give us a little brief overview of how it is now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we opened back in June 2021, so we are well into our second year now. Lots of different things have happened over that course of time. New things being brought in, different brands. So we are lucky enough to have Scotland's very first Pull & Bears, Stradivarius, Bershka and Other Stories. Edinburgh's first Lego. We've got some great additions to the food and beverage scene. We've just had recently opened Duck and Waffle. So they've brought that up from London. If you haven't been, it's absolutely fabulous inside. It's an amazing experience. We've got the wonderful Kapow, which have been brought over from Glasgow. We've got lots of leisure pursuits, and just about to open, just after Seafood Festival, actually, we have Rooms Apart Hotel. So for the first time, you'll actually have the ability to sleep over with us, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it definitely feels like sort of the future of hospitality and shopping. Like, I know that, you know, in Glasgow, the Buchanan Galleries are sort of looking to do something, demolish and do something similar. So it's a really nice space and a lot of really good shops and food and drink. But that leads me on to the Seafood Festival. So how did all that come about? Because this is the second or third year, is it?
Yeah, this is our second year. So we did it at the end of 2021, not long after opening. So we've developed it considerably since then. So it's really exciting what we're managing to bring to the quarter and the city. We're really excited to showcase some of the brands that we have internally and some of the special dishes that they have cooking up for us. But we've also got lots of exciting external brands coming in all over the city and across Scotland to come and showcase some of their amazing produce and dishes for everyone to come and discover.
Nice. So it's all about seafood. What are the dates and how can people get involved with it?
So, I mean, there's various different things that people can do, but most importantly, the dates, got to come on the right dates. So we're running that from Friday, the 31st of March, until Sunday, the 2nd of April. So a nice wee kickstart to the Easter school holidays here in Edinburgh. You can turn up on the day, you can book tickets in advance. You can just come and taste and see and smell. There's lots of different things. If you check out our website, then you will have a full programme of all the activities happening, where they're happening, when they're happening, so you can choose to when to come for the full day, whatever you wish, we're open.
Nice. So you have a street food market, which obviously people can show up to, but we've spoken to Gary and Teddy and, you know, they're doing some kind of cookery masterclasses and sushi making. So how do people sign up to that? Is it paid for? How do you kind of go about getting involved?
So first of all, the market, we're really excited about the market. This is sort of one of the biggest extensions that we're doing on the seafood festival that we did previously. So as part of this, there is lots of different things happening. You can come and just have a wee glass of fizz or a little sangria. You can come and you can taste some of the amazing fishy street food that we've got. You can sample things from fish and chips to poke to paella, fish tacos. You can then be inspired by our seafood stage and come back to the market and buy the fresh fish and take that home and cook it for your supper that evening. We've also got the wonderful Harris Gin coming down, so you have a bit of a rare opportunity to meet the team there, to sample the product and to buy it. So that's another great addition that we have at the market. At the seafood stage, we have... I probably don't have long enough to tell you. There's so much activity going on. We've got Gary McLean coming. He is going to be doing some food demonstrations, a bit of Q&A. There's going to be sushi making masterclasses with Teddy, who you've just spoken with. And he came and did it last year as well and is absolutely fabulous. We learned so much from him, how to prep the whole salmon for putting that into the sushi. And it's a wonderful thing. If you haven't made it and seen it, then definitely come along to that one. I mean, we've got lots of different guest speakers, activities, all happening on that stage. So definitely check out the programme on the website, see what tickles your fancy and come along.
And also when people are there, can they obviously pop into the different food and beverage places in the quarter as well?
Absolutely. So, you know, this whole festival is being completely embraced by the whole quarter. So, I mean, you won't be able to go everywhere without having seafood around, which I personally love. So, yeah, we've got the wonderful Kapow, who I mentioned earlier. Their head chef, Sandy, and their team have just been out to Bangkok and Chiang Mai, tasting all the cuisine over there, bringing that back. So they're really keen on showcasing what they've learned over there, and they've dedicated a whole fish seafood menu for over the festival. So definitely come and check that one out. That would be really great. We have the Real Greek up on level 4 as well. They are doing their Greek take on fish and chips. So it's like their salt cod, chips, taros malata are one of their really popular dishes that you can normally only get on a Friday. So they're going to be doing that full weekend. So if you haven't tried it, it'll be a great opportunity to do that. And then we have the wacky and wonderful Bross Bagels. They are coming to do their very own seafood bagel. So that will be available for the whole weekend. I believe it's a fish and chip bagel. So should be quite a delight to try. And yeah, I mean, you go into any of the brands, Bonnie and Wild, Maki Ramen, there's lots of opportunities to sample wonderful seafood with our brand partners here.
Well, it sounds great. And let's just hope we've got the weather to go with the lovely kind of seafood and spring summer feel. So is there any like live music, or is it mainly like the masterclasses?
No, there's absolutely, you can't have a seafood market and all this going on without some wonderful local talent and live music and entertainment. So I mentioned some of the brands there that are getting involved. A lot of them are based up on level 4, which is sort of our dining and leisure destination here. So we've got lots of great entertainment happening up there. So you'll be able to sit outside, if it's warm enough, as you said, and maybe enjoy some of those fish dish specials, sit back, relax and be entertained. But that will also be throughout the Galleria as well. So it'll really be a feast for all your senses.
Nice. Well, it sounds brilliant. Definitely, like you say, a great start to the Easter holidays. So is there anything else that people should look out for over the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. As part of the stage events and roaming around the quarter, we have the delightful Oyster Man and Miss Caviar. So if you haven't tried an oyster, been a bit too scared to, then you'll have that opportunity to come and do that there. So that's a wonderful little experience for you to try. And we also have Miele. So we're partnering with Miele over the full festival as well. They've got lots of great things happening in store and some supper clubs to look forward to. So definitely check out the website. We're updating it constantly with all of the exciting events that are happening.
Well, thank you very much. It sounds great. And I look forward to popping down.
Fabulous. Thanks so much.
Thanks to my guests for being involved in this episode, and thanks to you too for listening. Please remember to rate, review and subscribe so you never miss an episode of Scran. Scran is a Laudable podcast that's co-produced and hosted by me, Rosin Derskine, and co-produced, edited and mixed by Kelly Crichton.